Hi, you're listening to the My Body, My Story podcast.
It all starts with what's going on in your head. Attitude is everything, and that's true not just of how we regard ourselves physically, but emotionally, what you say you can and can't do.
This is the 45 over 45 chapter where we celebrate rule breakers and role models, the women who inspire us to live life our way and to show their sensuality, beauty, soul, and true essence. Here, we talk about what it's like to be 45 plus, adjusting to the changes that come with time, and we listen to the stories of our participants. If you have an interesting story, we'd love for you to participate. You can email us at info@alexandrawalker.com. That's Alexandra spelt with a K-S. Or visit our website, alexandrawalker.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the My Body, My Story project. And today with us in the studio, Anastasia. And while she's sitting in the makeup chair and Bella is creating her magic and doing makeup, I'll be asking her a few questions. Morning, Anastasia.
Good morning.
Welcome to the studio. Welcome to the project.
Thank you.
And let's start and tell us 10 facts about yourself.
Okay, so I'm going to start and from here and kind of work backwards. So this actual experience is something I've been wanting to do for decades. You know how the universe sometimes just makes you wait for things until it's the right time? Well, this is the right time. So yesterday I got my divorce through, which there's a story back there as well. So I've just recently had my first, my debut crime novel published, and I'm actually on a promotional tour, and I've just been on the road for about 2 weeks, travelling around, doing launches and that sort of thing. But the it's been like exhilarating and exhausting at the same time. But the book itself, almost didn't come to be because although I'd been writing it and editing it for quite some time, and I thought my husband was quite supportive. One night he turned to me and in an hour and a half long tirade told me that he'd hoped that I'd never have my book published because, you know why? Because you're a wanker. And it went on like that for like an hour and a half. And it kind of took that for the penny to drop that, you know, he probably wasn't the guy that I thought I'd married. So girls, what do? You walk your fine ass out the door, right? So I did. And I packed a suitcase, I left in the dead of night, and I moved states, I changed careers, but I kept editing and pitching, and about 3 months after I left, I got a book deal. So, sometimes things happen in a way that isn't necessarily very pretty, this journey has probably been far more empowering because it's been my journey and only mine than if I'd had a man holding me too tight. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So that's kind of like the nutshell of me being here. other things about me, so one of my big things is that I feel like I'm living on borrowed time and making up for lost time, because in 2016 I was diagnosed with breast cancer, and that's one of the things that sort of propelled me to finish writing that book and do lots of other things that I really wanted to do. And again, it's a blessing in disguise, because had I not had that big wake-up call and that hadn't sort of created that fire in my belly, I would not have done half the things that I've done and that make me feel really proud about where I'm at now. So they're the most recent things. A few other things. I have one daughter. She's 25. I just took her for her 25th birthday on safari to South Africa, which is another, you know, one of those things that I just wouldn't have done previously. I was dragged around rather than brought up. I was born in Canada. I grew up in England. I moved to Australia when I was 15, moved to Darwin. Since then, I've lived in lots of different places in Darwin, but North Queensland, Brisbane, Tasmania, Sydney, country New South Wales. I've lived off-grid for a year at Sydney Skydiving Centre at the bottom of the cross strip there with no power and no water. The thing that was the first husband. I'm not very good at men. I spent 3 years, 2 or 3 years travelling constantly, house-sitting around Australia and the world. Apart from writing the novel, I've also written quite a few short stories and non-fiction. Mm-hmm. I started a travel writing thing just before COVID hit, which was not good timing, but that's all right. I can keep going.
Yes, yeah, keep going. It's interesting.
all right. I was sent to boarding school when I was 9 years old, and that forms part of the basis of the background to the story of the crime novel. Mm. It was more Jane Eyre than Mallory Towers. And writing the novel kind of made me feel... I was angry when I started, basically. I was angry with my mother. She'd recently died and I hadn't sort of had that conversation with her. So it was very much a little bit of a therapy thing, writing it. But I've forgiven everyone, including myself now, so that's all good.
Which is the most important thing.
Isn't it? Yes, especially ourselves. We are often the last to forgive ourselves, which is a shame. But this is where I am now.
So what did you do before writing? You said you changed career.
I was a high school teacher for 15 years. Mm-hmm. I taught in Darwin and Queensland and ACT and overseas in Abu Dhabi for a year as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was pretty interesting.
I lived in Dubai for 13 years.
13? Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Oh, you know all about it then. So now I'm an editor at Hansard at Parliament House, which is a little bit of a game change. But being in there in question time, it's not that dissimilar to, year 10 on a Friday afternoon.
So if someone wants to read your book, is it one book published? Or?
Yeah, yeah.
So if someone wants to read it, find it, buy it, where they can, again, the name of the book.
Yeah, the name of the book is Survival Mode.
Survival Mode.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's written under Anastasia Tyler and it's available from Amazon, Barnes & Noble. You just Google that, it comes up everywhere.
I'm looking forward to read it.
I've been really surprised by, I've been going around. It's been on the market since the end of July and I've had really good feedback. A lot of people said that they've picked it up and just read it in two sittings, which is, it does wonderful things to my heart to hear that.
So how do you market yourself as a Canadian author or Australian author?
Australian. Australian. Yeah, I left Canada when I was two, so.
Oh, okay. So
I haven't been back yet, but I would like to. I'm actually seventh generation Australian. I come from convict stock. My great 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 grandfather was sent out here. He stole a pocket watch, pickpocketed a pocket watch off somebody in London, and he was sent, for the term of, for 7 years, but they never went back, did they?
So how come you were born in Canada?
Because my mother is quite an intrepid person. She was the first woman from her town to go to university. And it caused quite a stir at the time. People would stop her father in the streets and say, why are you sending a girl to university? It's just a waste of money. She's just going to go off and have babies and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, she went to university. She went to University of Queensland. She was the first female the leader of the debating team,
mm-hmm.
and she decided that she wanted to go to Canada. And so when my father proposed, she said, "That's fine, but you'll just have to follow." so he did. And yeah, they spent 5 years there, and I was born
there. So it was just a trip there, yeah. So
yeah.
Okay, perfect. Interesting story. So let's move to the aging and body image questions.
Yep.
And what does aging means to you? So how old are you now and what does it mean to you?
I'm 53.
At the moment.
Yeah. It's a mixed bag, really. I love, in some respects, it's the best age ever because you have got so many bags of wisdom and experience, and you know that you can do stuff because you've been there. So that sort of self-doubt, while it's still there a little bit, is far less than it was when you're in your 20s and 30s and even 40s. So there's that positive side to it, but there's the opposite, which is, that they say there's nothing more invisible than a middle-aged woman, and that scares the bejeebus out of me, that I'm just not ready, to be invisible. There's that Dylan Thomas poem, "Do not go gentle into that good night, rage, rage against the dying of the light." And that's kind of how I feel, yeah.
I heard it from quite a few women saying that they feel invisible, but I think that with your new book and hopefully more to come,
yeah.
You already gave yourself a pill against
yeah,
against being invisible.
Yeah, no, I'm doing everything I can. I'm throwing everything I got. At it, absolutely.
So, if your body could talk, what do you think it would ask you or tell you?
It would say, "Why do you hate me?"
Interesting.
No, sometimes it would say that. But no, my body's been through an awful lot with breast cancer and ectopic pregnancy and reconstruction surgery and, whatever else. I think my body would say that it's a metaphor for the resilience of my spirit,
mm-hmm.
Because not only have I been through a lot physically and kept regeneration going, that is also, I believe, I feel true of my emotional self as well.
Mm.
In fact, Anastasia means it's the Greek for resurrection.
Oh.
So I think maybe, I don't know if I was, if knowing that has helped me with resilience or whether because, whether it's the chicken or the egg, whether because I was named that I'm more likely to be that, I don't know. But I feel pretty, not much keeps me down. And if it does, I'm not there for long.
You can pick yourself up and...
yeah. I allow myself, we all have down times and, you've got to reflect and learn from experiences, but get back on that horse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but what do you think are the main reasons or main causes of body image issues that we all experience? Some people experience all the time, others from time to time.
Yeah. Gendered expectations and dangerous assumptions are big ones. But I think the biggest one for us individually is what's going on in our head and how we talk to ourselves and how we place ourselves in the world. And we are our worst critics when we should be our greatest champions. And... as I said, there's nothing more invisible than a middle-aged woman. We tend to take that mantle of middle-aged, and we read stuff, what that means, into it, and we carry that and we become that. But if that doesn't fit for you, well then, sister, you just make up your own rules and you decide what you are and what you carry and what you give to the world. Because one thing I've learned is that if we're not kind to ourselves, we don't treat ourselves right, if we don't just treat ourselves, no one else is going to. And nor should they. It's not their responsibility. Our happiness is not somebody else's responsibility, as neither is somebody else's happiness our responsibility. Yeah, I think we spend too much time trying to make other people happy and not ourselves.
It's interesting. You are one of very few participants who started with the self-reflection answering this question. Not like usually the answer is it's the media was the reason for body insecurities, and you started with it's all within us. And I actually agree with you. Like, the media is just a trigger for the insecurities we have inside.
Yeah, and I guess the media is kind of what I'm thinking of when I talk about gendered expectations and dangerous assumptions. Assumptions about just because you've got that number next to you, that this is what you necessarily are or should be, and it's just a load of bull crap.
Yeah. All right? We should all have biological age in our passports.
Yeah.
So how do you think it can affect the negative body image, can affect any relationship, like personal, co-workers, friends?
Everything. It all starts with what's going on in your head. Attitude is everything, and that's true not just of how we regard ourselves physically, but emotionally, what you say you can and can't do, but also, every aspect of ourselves is. It starts with how you think about yourself and your attitude towards yourself and the world, and where you see your place in that, and everything flows from that. So, going to the how that knocks onto every other aspect of our lives, I think it absolutely does. Because, yeah, if you have that negative self-talk, it's bound to, and you diminish yourself and the possibilities of what you can do just because you think you can't. Mm. And I think we've all been there at one point or another, more than once. Yeah.
So do you believe we have limitations inside our head? Like, everything is possible if we take right attitude?
Potentially, yeah. I mean, obviously, you have to be a bit realistic about things. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not going to become a brain surgeon. but you know, absolutely, yes. You can achieve a lot more than you think you can. Mm. You just got to take that leap of faith.
So if you have any, or from time to time, how do you overcome your body-related insecurities? What's the go-to method? And also, continuing this question, has it changed with age? Did you have different methods when you were younger comparing to now?
Yeah, well, when you look back and you didn't realise just how fabulous you were, do you, until you go, oh, that kind of missed that opportunity. Should have made more of that. I felt, because of the reconstruction, I've got scars, and when I left my husband and I started dating, I'd had my breast reconstructed, but there was no nipple. So that was a bit weird. So, like, the bra had to stay on. But the self-taught, so I learned a lot about self-acceptance through that. I was being driven by, I don't know, there's only one way to put it, like just an overwhelming urge to chase men, basically, because it had been such a long and not very fulfilling relationship. So I just kind of told her to shut up and let me get along and do the things that I knew I had to do. And then I guess I turned to validation to from others. So if I was desirable with these scars and shortcomings, as it were, then maybe there was something worthwhile about me. But since then, I've gone a step further, I guess, now, and I understand that it doesn't really matter what they think or whatever. It's about how I feel. That's the most important thing. So, you know, I'm making friends with carbs again and things like that.
You can afford it. You look really great.
I lost like 12 kilos since I left, so in the last year. In that kind of like looking for validation from other places rather than from within. But I'm much happier within now, so.
Yeah, so it's all the time we're talking about turning inwards rather than outwards. So looking inside yourself and finding strength inside yourself and validation.
Sophia Loren said sex appeal is 90% what they think you've got and 10% what you've actually got. So, again, it's about sort of just, I don't want to say performing, but knowing your worth, and that oozes out, if you like.
Yeah. Nicely said. My last question, and I love it because we have so many different answers to that. What is your favorite saying or quote about being a woman, or maybe your own thoughts?
No, I've got my favorite one at the minute, because, you know, they change. But Calamity Jane, she said, "I figure if a girl wants to go ahead, wants to be a legend, she should just go ahead and be one." I like that. I did up a calendar for my daughter with that as the thing, with a lot of photos of, you know, the inspirational women in our family. And I have that above my desk, and it resonates.
Yeah, excellent. Thank you very much for sharing your thoughts and your story, and I hope you will enjoy the rest of the day.
I'm looking forward
and
to it.
I wish you all the luck with your book.
Thank you.
Hopefully it will become a bestseller, and you will do many more, and it will fulfill you with your inner joy, and you will not need any validation from anyone. Thank you.
If you have an interesting story, we'd love for you to participate. You can email us at info@alexandrawalker.com. That's Alexandra spelt with a K-S. Or visit our website, alexandrawalker.com.